the anatomy of belief. Clearly, science does not have all of the answers regarding precisely how our beliefs affect reality. If they did, we'd obviously be living in a very different world. What science does tell us for certain, however, is that our heart is quite literally at the heart of the electrical and the magnetic fields that communicate with the organs inside of our body and the world beyond. In addition to measuring these powerful forces inside of our bodies, recent studies show that our heart fields can be measured at distances up to 8 feet beyond our physical body. And when I asked researchers why the field of an organ as powerful as the human heart would be limited to only those 8 feet, they told me that the number was the result of a limitation in their equipment to measure such fields, that in all probability, they confided, the heart's field probably extends for distances that can be measured in miles beyond the place where the physical heart resides. In 1993, a landmark paper published by the Institute of Heart Math documented the fact that the information coded in our emotions plays a key role in the way that our heart tells the brain what chemicals to produce in the body in any given moment. Things like hormones, endorphins, and immune enhancers. More precisely, our emotions tell our brains what we believe we need in the moment. This effect of heart-brain communication is already well documented in the open literature and generally accepted in the progressive medical community. What is not so well documented, however, is precisely how our beliefs can change our physical world beyond our bodies. We may well discover that this apparent disconnect in heart/belief/reality is a direct result of the life sciences lagging behind the most exciting discoveries of our day, discoveries that have invalidated the principles upon which those very sciences were based. Well, if you haven't been in the classroom for a while or you haven't read a book based in the new physics, for example, the revised thinking of what an atom looks like may surprise you. Rather than mechanical model, it is based upon things orbiting around other things, like a miniature solar system. The quantum atom is based upon patterns of energy and the probability that the energy is concentrated in one place or another at a given moment in time. What's important here is that the energy is made in part of electrical and magnetic fields, the same fields that we create in the thoughts of our brains and the beliefs of our hearts. In other words, the experiences that we know as feeling and belief are the names that we give to our body's ability to convert our experiences into electrical and magnetic waves. This is where things get really interesting. The reason is because when either the electrical fields of an atom or the magnetic fields of an atom or both fields change, the atom itself changes. It changes the way it behaves as well as the way it expresses itself as matter. And when the atom changes, our world changes. Well, modern physics texts document both effects and leave little doubt as to what an electrical field or a magnetic field means for an atom. In words that are clear and direct, classic physics texts actually state that when an atom is placed in an external magnetic field, the energy of the atom changes. The shift is named after its discoverer and called the Zeeman effect. A similar phenomenon known as the Stark effect does electrically what the Zeeman effect does magnetically. So while both the Zeeman and the Stark effects are interesting individually, together they become the key to understanding the power of heart-based belief. Studies have shown that the heart produces electrical fields up to 60 times stronger than those of the brain, while the heart's magnetic field can be as much as 5,000 times stronger than the brain's magnetic field. What's important here is that either field has the power to change the energy of atoms in our world, and we create both fields through our experience of belief. So when we create heart-centered beliefs within our body, in the language of physics, we're creating the electrical and magnetic expression of our belief as waves of energy. These belief waves are not confined to our hearts or limited by the physical barrier of our skin and bones. Belief Code 14 reminds us of this powerful key, stating belief is expressed in the heart, where our experiences are translated into the electrical and magnetic waves that interact with the physical world. So just what does all this mean? What does it tell us? Well, the bottom line is simple. The implications are profound. The precise fields of energy that make our world as it is are created by the mysterious organ that holds our deepest beliefs. Perhaps it's no coincidence that the power to change our bodies and the atoms of matter is focused in the one place that's long been associated with the spiritual qualities that make us who we are, the heart. Truly, we can feel justified when we look at ourselves and then to one another, and from the place of deepest gratitude for all that we've experienced in life, simply say, bless our hearts. Using the simple eloquence of a poet, William Blake reminded us of the power of our inner experience to change our outer world, stating, all that you behold, though it appears without, it is within. It's in your imagination of which this world of mortality is but a shadow. Although the words have changed over the centuries, the similarity between what Blake is telling us and what the Buddhist traditions were telling us centuries ago is unmistakable. If reality exists only where the mind creates a focus, as the Buddhists suggest, and all that we experience is within from Blake's perspective, then clearly our beliefs are the programs that determine our experience. Belief Code 15 clarifies this powerful truth, reminding us that beliefs and the feelings that we have about our beliefs are the language that speaks to the quantum stuff that makes our reality. Belief, the program of consciousness. If our beliefs are, in fact, doing the creating, then the key to changing them is to understand how they work. We must find a way to think of beliefs within a framework of something that makes sense, something that we already know, something like our familiar computers. In Chapter 1, we explored the possibility that the universe may work just like our familiar computers, with beliefs as the programs. Well, this is exciting because we already know how a computer works, and we already know how computer programs work. So the framework for exploring beliefs as a program is already in place. Now, let's take our exploration one step further. Let's see precisely how much of a program our beliefs really are and how we can create new belief programs that speak to the computer of this universe. If we think back to our description of the universe as being made of patterns within patterns, then the little programs of our beliefs should give us a good idea of how the big programs of the universe really work. So let's begin by exploring our beliefs in just that way, as if they were simple programs. In doing so, we can also discover what to do more of or less of to translate our heart's desires into the reality of our lives. Computer programs can be complex or they can be simple. Some programs, for example, contain millions of lines of computer code, and some can be as short as three simple statements. Regardless of their size, however, all programs have the same basic parts. Those parts can be thought of as the commands that begin the program, the commands that tell the program what to do, and the commands that tell the program that the work is finished. Because our goal is to use what we already know about electronic programs to understand belief programs, and belief is made of thoughts, feelings, and emotions, let's look at the role they would play if they were a computer language. When we do, it becomes obvious that our inner experiences perform the same role in consciousness as their counterparts do in our computers. The similarities are striking. In this way of thinking, thought becomes the begin command, emotions become the work commands, and belief and feeling become the completion commands. Here's how they work. In a computer, the begin command is what starts a program and gets things going. It's a special statement that gives the computer everything it needs to do its work. Just the way we need all of the ingredients for a really good meal before we can prepare that meal, this is a necessary step before our belief program can begin. When we create a belief in our consciousness computer, thought is the equivalent of the begin command. After the program begins, The work commands tell the program what to do. They take the information provided by the begin commands and use it in a meaningful way. It's our emotions, our love, our fear for the things that we bring to mind, for example, that gives life to those things. So in consciousness, emotion is the equivalent of the work commands. Within the context of our consciousness program, the completion command signals the point where all of the pieces have come together and our belief is in its finished form. Feeling and belief are the equivalent of a completion command. And just to be clear, in our beliefs, the completion of the program is the beginning rather than the end of the process. It signals that our building of a new belief is complete, so that the desire of our heart can now become the reality of our world. Well, with these equivalents in mind, it's now easy to think of feeling and belief as the programs of consciousness. Because we're the ones creating them, that makes us the programmers. We choose what thoughts become our begin commands and what emotion signals that we're ready to bring our thoughts to life. Through inner technology of beliefware, we are clearly the architects of our lives. It all begins with what happens in the mysterious realm that we call the mind, that place where our experiences converge into the lasting record of a moment in time.